to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have once again come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a, on a daily basis. Anyway, I'm glad you guys are here. We have actually got a topic today that topic is one that my co-host brought up today. Joel's in the house with me today. Good to have you, man.
It's good to be here.
Is it really?
It really is.
Okay. Do you guys believe that voice? Can you believe that voice? And say that?
It is great to be here this morning. Thank you, sir, for inviting me.
Sir. Now, you're uninvited. You can call me sir. You can't be doing that. Make me feel really, really ancient.
Old.
Anyway, well, I wasn't going to use the word old, but now you're for sure. Anyway, you had brought up a topic that I think is very, very good because it's we're talking about walking in the Spirit, okay, and practicing being in the Spirit, and how does that apply in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ? And somebody, you know, you may never think about it, but the Bible talks about that, and we're going to talk about that from our own experiences and everything. You know, this is something that can be not necessarily controversial, but we can get on ourselves for not actually being this way even more. But I believe that becomes conviction at that point, right?
Yes.
When you say? Because the majority of the time we're called to be more like Christ. And in doing so, that means that there has to be some changes in everything. And so when we talk about walking in the Spirit, what is that? What does that look like? What does that sound like? Do you have an explanation of what that might be, what it could be?
Well, so I first want to start out with Galatians 5.
Excuse me.
Starting in verse 16. It says, this is Paul talking here, and he says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Mm-hmm. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." And so we're commanded to walk by the Spirit.
Yes.
Yet we tend to walk by the flesh a lot of the times because that is just our fleshly nature.
Yes.
You know, and you can tell the difference walking by the flesh and walking by the Spirit, you know, by the fruits, by your actions.
Yeah. So when we're talking about walking in the Spirit or by the Spirit or with the Spirit, what is the Spirit?
The Spirit of God.
Okay.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to live in us, live mm-hmm. through us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at war. Our spirit needs to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. But our flesh does not like that.
So all we have to do is compare our lives before we became aware that there needed to be a change that took place. Mm-hmm. Because when we accept Jesus, that is at the time when he actually says that I have entered you. You believe in me, I have entered you. And in a sense, that means that all of a sudden, hey, there's something that needs to take, something has to go.
Yes.
Right?
Before we became followers of Christ, we did not walk in the Spirit. We
so
only walked in the flesh.
That's what we compare what we're doing today. If we're looking the same way and acting and talking and being the same way as we were before, right, then maybe we need to kind of question what we're doing or what we have done.
Yeah.
Are we really following through?
Can you call yourself a follower of Christ that day if mm-hmm. you're participating in dirty jokes,
mm-hmm.
if you're lusting after women, you know, if you're slandering other people? Those are all things of walking in the flesh.
Your language, and if it's all about me rather than others.
Or about all about Christ. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Then you're walking in the mm-hmm. flesh. And mm-hmm. we're commanded not to walk in the flesh. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit. But how do we do that? It's very hard to do. I can find myself walking in the Spirit in the morning And then the next thing I know, I'm walking in the flesh, and I didn't even realize that change until after it's already happened.
Right, right.
And it's a horrible thing afterwards. It's like, how did that just happen? Right. You know, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit. Why did I do that?
Well, if we take it back to the place of where, first off, before we even accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, something had to happen in our lives that said, hey, this is not working. The way that I'm making decisions and things, what's going on in no matter what area of our life, it could be in relational, it could be work, it could be in at home, with authority, whatever it may be, we realize that there's something that is not working very well. There, I am hitting a brick wall. I'm having to be trying to make life enjoyable, and it's not happening. It's not even happening when I'm doing the things that they say. If I drink this or if I buy that, I'm not feeling the effect that it says I will get, right? So
yeah.
I had to make a decision. And that might mean that I get to a place where I had enough fire on the backside of me that I know that I need to change, right?
Yeah. If you have enough pain in your life, that's what it was for me.
Yes.
It was pain.
Yes.
You know, I had always felt a calling towards God.
Mm-hmm.
But the pleasure that I was receiving from walking in the flesh was greater than the pain.
Yes.
Until one point, you know, we're recognized by our fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was sowing some pretty rotten fruit mm-hmm. in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally got to the point to where that fruit made me sick enough and caused me enough pain and those around me that I decided to make a change in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made that change and I accepted the Lord Jesus, you know. I accepted his grace and his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But now I find myself wandering back into the flesh every now and then.
Well, I think it's a very human thing because we've, for years and years, and not knowing how long it takes for somebody to get to that place, we may have very well thought that, you know, maybe I should be more, maybe I ought to go to church, maybe I ought to know God more. It looks like those people seem to have it together, but they're restricted. They can't have some of the fun that I enjoy doing, right? So you've got to give up something to get something, right? And because we only have so – anyway, so the point being is that somewhere along the line, we make a decision of saying, you know what? I can't live like this any longer. Whatever that is, the pain becomes greater than what the result is or what I've been receiving from that, okay? So all of a sudden, I'm sitting here going, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go and listen to what they have to say. And we become curious, right? I'm going to give them a shot, meaning the Christians, right?
Yep.
Those who are, I'm going to give them a shot and I'm going to, you know, and I'm going to check this out and then go from there. And long story short, it depends on the individual. We end up getting to that place of saying, oh, wow, I didn't know it was that like that. Or maybe, wow, okay, maybe I can do this. Okay, or you hear something and say, wow, I thought I was the only one that ever felt that way. Wow, this guy used to be just like me. Actually, he was worse than me the way that it sounded like, and he's doing this, and he's feeling like this. He has, you know, I think I want what he has, right? So there has to be something that triggers it, and that's usually because within us, and this is my own call, I believe that it's that we're created by God to be holy because and to be eternal beings. And as a result of that, that may be down deep. There's a lot of garbage that covers that up, right, over all the years?
There is. You know, we are created to be in fellowship with God, to be in his presence. We are created to desire him.
Yes.
But the world does pack on a lot of garbage.
Yes.
And sometimes it happens really early in your life, and it happens pretty heavy, and it buries that desire under that garbage.
Yeah, and it's not just loose dirt that it's covered with. It's hardened stuff.
It's concrete. You know,
and sometimes metal and stuff. That's how much we've been encased in our sin or in our behavior that would not be appropriate to living a life of seeking to follow Jesus, right?
Right.
So somewhere along the line, when we end up making that decision— I think the majority of people fall into this lie, into this trap that all of a sudden, now that I've accepted Jesus, not only did I accept him, I've asked him for forgiveness of my sins, and I'm willing to turn away from those things, and I'm willing to say, okay, I'm willing to drop everything and just start anew, okay? With that, somewhere along the line, we think that that's all we need to do. is just make that decision and then come to church, get a Bible, and we're okay.
I'm guilty of that.
We all are.
I'm guilty of that. No, I'm guilty of saying, Lord, would you just control me this day? Just pull my strings like a puppet so that I'm walking in the Spirit.
Right.
You know, when this temptation comes, let it not feel like temptation. Let me walk in the Spirit. And then I get frustrated when I start walking in the flesh. Like, why did I do that? Come on, I accepted Jesus into my life. I should never walk in the flesh again. This should be easy.
Yes. And that's where we become, and that in itself is a lie. You know, and in this world that we live in today, we see it. There's such a value, or I should say not value, the way that we look at things, that I'm entitled to this because of whatever it is, because of who I am, where I live, or who, you know, whatever it is. You know, if you only knew what I had to sacrifice to get here, I deserve all of this. Well, I deserve nothing.
Amen.
I really deserve nothing.
Amen.
You know, when I look at my life, and I'm not saying that you don't deserve, but I'm saying I did not deserve all of these things that have come my way. But there is some action that needs to take place.
There is. You know,
as
Christians, we fall into that same entitlement, you know.
Right.
That same entitlement mentality. I've accepted Christ into my life, so I'm entitled to live an easy life free of temptation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, brothers, it's not going to be like that. It's
and they
not
probably
like
already
that.
Know that.
They know
they're,
that.
They're acknowledging that right now, right?
Yeah. They're acknowledging that. They know it's not like that.
But the fact is that we sit there and we go, okay, you know, so what is it that we need to do to be able to get on track and to be able to see that this is the way that we need to go, and this is how we acquire the directions, in a sense, okay? And it's very simple. Simply, we come to this new relationship that we've started. In any relationship, if you want to get to know somebody, let's just do it back at a point where maybe our motives were, let's say that they were cleaner, in a sense that you met somebody and you want to get to know them. And the only way of getting to know them is to spend time with them, right? You get to talk and you ask questions and you kind of interact and you get a feeling of, oh, I'm getting to know who this person. Oh, wow, I didn't know that you experienced that. That's very cool. Or, wow, that's pretty awesome. Or whatever. Or that's too bad that you did. Or whatever. But you have a relationship, right? And that's what this thing is all about. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, we need to be mindful. And this is where we get it from others that have been down the walk. They say, hey, get into the Word of God. And so often we hear about it, oh, yeah, I got a Bible, and I've got it. I got a big one, a really big one, really thick, and it's got a lot of notes in it and everything. So this should be the right kind of Bible to have. And I have it. It's at home. I still have it in the box. You know, I won't.
Like the Star Wars collectibles.
Exactly. But so often we hear that, right? And we experience the fact that, okay, I got a Bible, this is mine, I got my name on it and everything. And so there I am. I'll go to church on Sunday, and I don't know if I'll bring it. It's a pretty big Bible. Maybe I'll just leave it at home, and I'll just come to church, and I'll just leave it at home because it's so big. I could lose it too. You know, it's brand new.
Yeah. I'll just read the notes that they put up on the screen for me, and that's all I need.
So I'm making light of this because that's usually, it may not be that specific thing, but that's how we look at it. We don't have to do any more than what we've already done. And everyone has come up to you. I loved it when I was accepted Jesus for the very first time. The people had come up and they said something to me. They encouraged me. They said, welcome home. You know, it's like you were all of a sudden highlighted. It's like a birthday, right?
Yeah.
You're highlighted. You know,
spotlight's on you.
Yes, that's it. And they're saying, hey, praise God. The angels are singing and rejoicing in heaven as a result of you coming to him. And, you know, so we kind of ride that for a little while. We ride that way for a little bit. But we can't last very long with that because it's going to require us to do certain things. And that's where, I don't know about you, but I try to pay attention to those who were telling me what I needed to do. And I knew that it was going to require something on my part. And that meant to get to know the Lord. You get to know him through his word. You get to know a little bit about how the very beginning of time and all these stories in the Bible that are actually pertinent to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay. And so often we get carried away because immediately, as soon as we've accepted Jesus, within 24 hours, in a sense, we're already being tempted once again into areas where we thought, wow, I thought this wasn't going to happen like this. Why is it happening like this? You know? Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even realize it until after it's done.
Yes.
That temptation comes and just you walk in the flesh. And so naturally you just do it. You give in to that temptation and you sin without even realizing that you're sinning.
Yes.
Until after it's done. And then that conviction comes upon you and you get that realization that I just sinned. I don't want to sin. I'm not supposed to be a sinner.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be a saint.
Yes.
Why did I do that?
Yes.
It's because it's in our nature.
Yes. And so often we think that all of a sudden now we've added church into our life, that now we go to church, and if you're a single guy, it doesn't matter if you're single or married or engaged or whatever, you notice all these other women that are coming to church. And I remember talking with guys and listening and the things that are said, if I knew that these kind of women were here, I would have been here a long time ago, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now you find yourself, now, if you really, in hindsight sometimes, looking, saying, man, I was in church and I lusted over the women that were there.
You were there for your selfish desires.
Exactly. And thinking that I'm just there because I'm here to hear the word of God. And yet there's, you know, other motives, other things that start to come into play because we're so ingrained with all the stuff that we've been doing prior to that. You know, I remember being told one time, it's not so much about learning new things than it is to unlearn these things, you know, of realizing that I can't look at people the same way. I don't want to have to talk with people the same way. I've got to cast away some of these motives and reasonings that I do things for my own, as you said, my own selfish desire.
Yeah. And, you know, we find that even Peter himself, you know, he was reprimanded by Paul when he used to eat with the Gentiles, and then when the other Jews came and he stopped eating with the Gentiles because he was worried what they would think. And this is Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit, turn around walking in the flesh. So we are not alone in this. It happens to every single one of us because we are human. But we have to unlearn that kind of stuff, and it's a lengthy process.
Yes,
it's not going to happen overnight.
Yes,
you know, and sometimes I'm guilty of thinking, well, why didn't it just happen overnight?
Yes,
come on, I accepted Jesus, I accepted the Spirit. He's more powerful than that.
I want to make it easy. Come on, I want the easy road.
Just
here.
Do it for me here.
The Bible even talks about straight the what's it called the straight road, easy
make straight the way of the.
No, there's a street in. It's called Straight Street or whatever it is. We're going to take a break. In the meantime, I'm going to try to find out about this straight road. But we're continuing to talk about walking in the Spirit and what that means. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Got off track, I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand, there I was, now here I am, here I am, changed.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio, and I know you guys are all wondering about Straight Street. That's what it is, the name of the street, that Judas lived on in the book of Acts.
Yes, Acts 9:11.
Yes, and so it wasn't just something I threw out there, but there was a street called Straight Street in the Bible. Anyway, Walking the Spirit, I pulled this off the internet on questions.org. Believers have the Spirit of Christ, the hope of glory within them. Those who walk in the Spirit will show forth daily, moment by moment, holiness. This is brought about by consciously choosing by faith to rely on the Holy Spirit to guide in thought, word, and deed. Failure to rely on the Spirit's guidance will result in a believer not living up to the calling and standing that salvation provides. So, not living up to the standards. So there are standards. Once we make that decision of following Christ, there are certain standards that we fall under, that the Lord wants us to, you know, to stay within, you know, help us keep us on that straight street, so to speak.
On that straight street. There are standards.
Yes.
You know, and some of those standards are, you know, joy, peace, gentleness, patience. You know, some of the standards are not anger, sexual immorality, living in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to see that impact on our lives, though, of living in the flesh. Like anger, you know, no one wants to be around you when you're an angry person. You know, Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're an angry person walking in the flesh, no one's going to want to be around you. I found myself in that situation just a couple days ago. Woke up, was in the Word, was in prayer, walking in the Spirit. Something happened at work. I called for assistance over the intercom. No one responded immediately. So what did I do? I called again in an angry voice, a stern tone, thinking surely that's going to get someone to respond to that call. Because if I'm mean, someone's going to respond. Well, I went from walking in the Spirit to walking in the flesh, you know, just like a flick of a light switch.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I thought somehow being angry was going to draw people to me.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
When instead, if I had been polite, been a little bit more patient, maybe people would respond. Now, someone responded because they were walking by the area, but when they responded, they weren't in a good mood responding, you know. And so it didn't all work exactly as, you know, I had desired it.
Right.
There was some tension there, and it's not supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, we see other impacts of walking in the flesh, sexual immorality, you know, and in a society like today, that can lead to things like disease and health effects. You know, living in the flesh leads to death. Romans 8:13 talks about that. If you live in the flesh, you're going to die. You know, but living in the Spirit, the second part of 8:13, leads to life. But we have to see that in our lives. We have to see that fruit. And by seeing the fruit in our lives, we can tell if we're living in the Spirit or if we're living in the flesh.
Well, see, so often I think that we fall into a trap that we still feel like we have to pull up our own bootstraps. And this is where I think the difference is between whether we're going to be walking in the Spirit or we're going to be walking in what I believe the Spirit wants me in. Okay, and when I start thinking that I need to do it a certain way, then all of a sudden I start taking control and start acting a certain way and being a certain way. When really, I've got to remember, Paul talks about it when he's talking to us in I can't remember, it's in Corinthians, I believe it is, but he's reminding us that he says, I plant the seed, Apollos waters the seed, but God is the increase. Okay, so all I have to do is my job. I don't have to worry about whether or not I start to make sure that I'm actually growing in it. No, God is the increase. So if I'm actually realizing that, and the other story that he talks about is where Paul actually talks about the thorn in his side. He asks the Lord to take it, to give it away. And the Lord says no three times. And he says, and he reminds him, says, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Okay? My grace is sufficient for you. Okay? So in other words, stop trying to make things right. Start walking. You know, Back in the day, I know you've heard of this, back in the day, that men's ministry that was global, that was worldwide, men of, oh my goodness, I just went blank.
I don't know what you're talking about. Before my time.
Okay, nope. But anyway, they wore wristbands that said WWJD, okay? What would Jesus do? Okay, so if I would actually be mindful of everything that I'm doing, that God has a purpose for everything that I'm doing, if I'm being thankful for everything that I am doing and able to do, whether it's a job that I don't really care for right now, but hey, I'm going to do the best as if I'm working for the Lord, not for the person who's writing the check, okay? But as a result of that, not being boastful about the Lord in front of everybody, because we can become pretty obnoxious in that sense, but also in of just actually just realizing that what would Jesus do in this situation? Would he be sarcastic? Would he be angry? Would he be kind, loving, accepting, compassionate, understanding? Yes. Those are the things I need to be like. And the best way for me to be able to do that is I need to be able to, first off, I have a lot of things that are on my heart that I need to get rid of. And one of the things that we need to be able to do is to gather together with other like-minded brothers, okay, and to be able to share some of these things. You know, of saying, hey, you know, and we know there are men in our lives that are actually have been doing this path longer than us, okay, who have something that I want. Okay, not that I want to be exactly like them, but I see the joy in their lives. I see where they've overcome certain areas of their life. I actually ask them questions, and I am willing to receive what it is that they have to say. Okay, now whether I apply it in my life is another decision, but at least I can talk with somebody that I can trust. But I need to find somebody else that I can actually share some of this stuff with so I can let it go.
You do. You have to confess your sins to each other. You have to pray for each other. You know, we have to be lifted up by each other, and we have to lift each other up.
Yes.
You know, it's not meant to be lived alone. You know, the other thing we have to do is we cannot hold on to our sins. We cannot hold on to the guilt of our sins. Otherwise, we're gonna keep ourselves down, and we're gonna keep walking mm-hmm. in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after I had sinned, after I had spoken angrily, I have to remember that if I seek the Lord, He will forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Lamentations 3, says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases; His mercies never come to an end; they are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness.
Yes,
that's verse 22 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
we have to remember that there is forgiveness
mm-hmm.
at the cross
mm-hmm.
because of what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you find yourself walking in the flesh, you do. When you recognize it, you have to cease from doing it.
Right.
You have to seek that forgiveness, and then you have to move beyond it, or it will drag you down. And sometimes another brother can help you do that.
Mm-hmm.
They can point
mm-hmm.
that out, and they can say, "Brother, the Lord's forgiven you. Are you saying Jesus, what He paid is enough?
Yes.
His grace is enough for you.
Yes.
Move on."
And one of the things I think is so important along with that is that we actually end up talking with somebody who understands where we're coming from. See, sometimes we have a tendency, and maybe it's so that we get more pats on the back. Maybe we really enjoyed that when people said, "Hey, welcome home after you accepted Jesus and everything." Maybe part of my own flesh, my own selfishness, is that I was still looking for that sort of thing. So I wanted to start talking to people who maybe don't know Jesus about Jesus. And it's not the right time, or the, it's not the proper way to be able to do something, especially whether it be at, in their home, if they invited you over. The last thing some people wanted to hear is that all of a sudden I became a Christian. And yet I feel like, hey, I'm compelled to tell them that sort of thing. Well, it may be the right thing to do, but I need to have God's proper timing, His timing, not my timing, not what I think is right and what I think is the right time, but His time. And the only way of being able to do that is being in relationship with Him.
Amen. And constantly in relationship with Him, not just in the morning.
Yep.
I can easily walk in the Spirit in the morning when I'm in prayer and I'm in the Word. I wake up, my kids wake up, my wife wakes up, I go to work, stresses start coming at me,
mm-hmm.
I stop thinking about the Lord, I start thinking about the things around me, and it is very easy to start stumbling.
Well, the Lord reminds us in Matthew to cast all of our anxiety upon Him. Okay, and in doing so, we sit there and say, okay, I forgot all about that. Or that applies to somebody else right now, because if they only knew how much I have to go through today or what lies in front of me in the hours yet to come, I could get all worried up and frantic, in a sense, and make decisions that may not necessarily be the decisions that Jesus would have made. Right.
And in order to cast your cares upon Him, you have to realize He's right there with you.
Yes.
He's not at home where your Bible is, you know, where you were praying. He's not at church. He's there at work with you.
One of the things, the name of that group, by the way, is Promise Keepers. And those are, it was a worldwide revival of men, of coming to accept Jesus and becoming the men that God had intended us to, that He created us for. To be not only godly men, but to be godly husbands and godly fathers and godly grandfathers and uncles and et cetera, et cetera. Taking on that responsibility. And with that, and that's part of what we do through the ministry that we're a part of, is to be able to encourage men to be in fellowship with each other. See, when we try to do all of this by ourselves, we can get caught up in forgetting about certain things. If you happen to know that there's a brother with you at work or somebody that you know is a believer, and it's not a big deal, you could just actually ask him one time, maybe during your break or during lunch, say, hey, man, would you mind just kind of, if you ever see me acting a certain way, let's use a code word or something, 2x4 or whatever it is.
Call me out on it.
Yeah, call me out on it just to remind me, not to necessarily in front of other people, but maybe even a code word that gets you back on track, say, oh, yes, I'm acting like, you know, the flesh rather than the way that, you know, and you guys can actually do that with each other. Not to try to show weakness or how bad you're doing, but just as an encouragement to be able to say, hey, listen, you know, another way of being able to do that sort of thing, whether it be at work, if you don't have somebody at work, that you have a friend, another guy that you know that is, that you guys have something in common other than Jesus Christ that you maybe have a long relationship with, and you guys are just getting to know each other at a different level. Maybe just an encouraging word of a text or even a phone call with a little encouraging word on there or a prayer, you know. These are the things that all we hear them say, oh, that would really work, but do we put them into action?
There's the key, you know, putting it into action.
Yeah, because we got to decide somewhere along the line, do you want to continue living like this, or do you want to just wing it and do it with your own bootstraps? Because if you are, you're going to end up failing. You'll end up failing. Let's take another break. Let's take our last break here, and then we'll come back and talk about some more about some of the things we can do to help stay walking in the Spirit. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
No sugarcoating here. It's real talk about real issues for real men. Band of Brothers Radio.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
You're busy and the last thing you want to worry about is lawn work. What if someone else took care of that for you? If you live in Northwest Washington, Kane's Lawn and Garden can take that job off your to-do list. With almost 30 years of experience, you know they have satisfied customers who continue to rely on them year after year. Kane's Lawn and Garden can provide as little or as much as you need. Mowing, edging, pruning, fertilizing, weed control, and even general property cleanup. Take advantage of special pricing right now. Request a quote by visiting their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. That's Canes, spelled C-A-I-N-S, lawnandgarden.com.
Forgiven, forgiven. You love me even when I
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Joel and Raul in the studio, and talk about walking in the Spirit, of course. You know, and so often, you know, we can look at some of the things that the Bible reminds us of, how not to be, and what how we ought to be, and that can be overwhelming sometimes. And yes, we are trying not to become legalistic to where we just realize that, okay, it's like this or it's like that. The key is here is that we're not under the law. See, we've got to remember when Jesus came, it became grace is how we are, how we get the opportunity to change, okay? And his grace is continually just over, he wants to just bestow that, pour that over us all the time. It doesn't matter how many times that you have failed or stumbled and everything, you still have grace that you're under, okay? And that grace is there because of the faith that we have in him, okay? In believing that, all right? So we're reminded that it's not about keeping a certain check marks on a list of, oh, I'm not doing this, I haven't done that, I haven't done that. And no, it's about living in the Spirit, which is completely different. It's totally, once again, I'm trying to just relying on the Holy Spirit within us. See, that's the beautiful thing, is that he lives within us, right?
He does. Galatians 2:20 talks about that. You know, it's Christ that lives in me. And so it's his Holy Spirit that we need to live in.
Yes.
And we can tell the fruits of the Spirit and the rotten fruits of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Galatians talks about that, and starting in 5:16 and ending in 5:26.
Yes.
They talk about, you know, living in the flesh and living in the Spirit.
Yes.
And it is so easy to read it. It's another thing to put it into practice.
Yes.
Because we do. We start experiencing some of that rotten fruit in our life, drunkenness, idolatry, sexual immorality, and we start to put ourselves down because we sometimes do get legalistic and say, I didn't live up to what I was supposed to live up to.
Yes.
I'm a failure.
Yes. So there's something about asking the Lord, once again, in this relationship. See, in this relationship, it's like asking your, you know, if you ever had a friend, you guys go for a walk or a run, and you're just, with nothing in mind, you're just going for a walk, hanging out together, and you talk with each other. And even maybe recognize certain things along the walk, say, hey, look at that. You know, there's seals popping up out of the, you know, the water over there or whatever it might be, right? But you just continue to walk and you get into, you're having a relationship, okay? Now, that's how the Lord wants us to be with him. We could do the same thing. I used to hate being by myself. I always felt like I needed to have people around me to help me feel like, okay, I'm not alone, right? But now I have this relationship with Jesus Christ. I look forward to the times that I can actually be alone with him.
Yeah.
Okay? So I can practice coming to know him more. He knows me. I probably make him laugh more than anything because of my own thoughts and ideas of how I think I ought to run my life. But the point being is that in talking with him and interacting with him, I get that opportunity of trusting him even more. And trusting him even more, guess what's going to end up taking place? I'm going to find myself desiring to live a certain way more than another way. I'm going to avoid being in areas. You know, Paul talks about in Timothy, in his letters to Timothy, to flee the evil desires of youth.
Yeah.
Okay? And it doesn't mean that as because you're older that you that doesn't apply to you. It does apply to you because what guy who's 60 years old doesn't think that he's 19 or think like he's 19 at times? That happens. It's automatic. So we need to flee the evil desires of youth. You know what I'm gonna. You know what I'd like to do right now, Joel, if you don't mind. I'd like for you to read out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to the very end, 22. But here's what I'm gonna ask the guys who are listening. Joel's gonna read this. He's gonna read it slow and meaningful. The Spirit is gonna speak to you. I want you just to close your eyes as you're listening to this. He's going to keep his eyes open because he doesn't know it by heart, and that's totally okay. But what's going to take place is that you're going to hear it. And let it just penetrate into your heart as he does this. He didn't know I was going to have him do this, but I think this would be a very good thing for all of us to be able to practice in. So,
but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Now, what ends up taking place is that when we end up receiving that, some guys get it a little more than other guys do. Sometimes reading it makes a big difference. This is actually a good portion of chapter 5 in the book of Galatians that could be read every morning before you leave the house or in your time of Bible reading at the time, of realizing that I am to allow the Spirit to relish, to flow through me in everything that I do. And as a result of that, what ends up taking place, the changes will take place. We don't want people to say, hey, what, do you become better than me? No, what we want to do is be a light for Jesus. See, it's through his kindness that Jesus attracts people, attracts others. So we want to be kind. You know, one of the things I have made to myself is that I need to be more kind in everything that I do. I need not talk about the drivers and how erratic they are, the negative drivers that are out there, because I could very well be one of those at any given time. You know, my pride always goeth, you know, before the fall, right? Always boastful.
You talk about erratic drivers.
Yeah.
I got in the car this morning and told myself I was going to be a good driver on the way here. About 5 minutes into my drive, I found myself starting to be an erratic driver. I had to realize it, and I had to step back.
Yeah.
So it is easy. It is easy. But, you know, the Lord tells us, Jesus tells us in John 16:23, anything we ask in his name, mm-hmm. we shall receive.
Yeah.
So ask for the Spirit. Ask for more
yep.
of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And you can do it any time of the day. You talked about walking with a friend. We do not have to be on our knees with our eyes closed mm-hmm. in a dark room to pray to God. You can be talking to him. Like I'm talking to you right now, mm-hmm. as I'm walking along doing my day, I can be talking to him. I can be praying to him.
Right.
And I can be staying focused on him.
Now, so often we end up getting in this place where all of a sudden we sense the Spirit kind of leading us, and we get to a place. But as soon as we see or feel a nudge, it's kind of like driving along. You ever been hit in the car when you didn't see it by somebody who's backed into you or something, and you happen to be in the car? You didn't see it coming, right? And it's not a huge thing, but all of a sudden, what's the first thing out of your mouth? Well, it's usually whatever's on your heart, okay? So if you end up sitting there and realizing, oh, no, you know, or if you use other explicitives, that means that there's still a lot more cleaning needs to take place. My point being is that we don't expect or we don't see things coming all the time. The unexpected takes place all the time in our lives. The temptations are going to come. We don't expect them. We don't necessarily want them, but they're going to come.
They are.
But as Jesus dealt with temptation, we are to deal with temptations also. So it's always good to be able to have the Word of God in mind, even if the verse that you have memorized, let me tell you something, brothers, it won't matter. You just speak it aloud, okay? It will help to get you on track. And just so that you, in case you believe that you don't have what it takes to memorize a verse, you have some verses already memorized. The majority of you, if not all of you who are listening to this show, know the Lord's Prayer. And you can find it in the book of Matthew. It's in there, okay? So you have memorized Scripture. The Lord's Prayer is there. You can use that. You know, just as simply as saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That may be all you need to say at that point to be able to be mindful of his presence in you. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And when we acknowledge him, he loves that. Because that's what he created us for. To be with him for eternity and to praise him. And to acknowledge him in all things.
Amen. The Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6, starting with verse 9.
All right.
So that's where it's at. It's a good one to pray. It really is. It's a good one to pray. Another good one to memorize is Galatians 5, starting with verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. And to keep that on your mind, you know, am I showing love, joy, peace, patience? Because then you know you're walking in the Spirit.
And just to simplify it even more so, brother, just so that you know, we all have a cell phone. If you're driving down the road or you happen to be at work or something like that, contact another brother in Christ. If you don't have a brother in Christ at your church, once you ask your senior pastor, if there's maybe a men's ministry or a men's Bible study. I believe that all men should be in fellowship with other Christian men so that you would know that there's certain things that you can share with men that you don't feel real comfortable with sharing with women, okay? And especially for those of you who are married, the last thing you want to do in a small group is share in your small group that your challenges of lust and looking at other women and so on and so forth. You might think that that's a cool thing to be able to do, but I'm going to tell you, you're only asking for trouble.
Might make an awkward small group.
Yes, very awkward small group. So anyway, well, that's a good topic, brother. I tell you what, walking in the Spirit, tough to do.
It is.
But it is something you cast and you ask the Lord to be able to help you. Remember, he says, yoke up with me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
Right? Would you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Heavenly Father, I lift up to you the brothers listening. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill them with your Spirit this day and that the desires of the Spirit would be stronger than the desires of the flesh. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you, brother, and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Brother, know this, there is hope and you are definitely not alone.